Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Shh! Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. Charlie, I play drums.
I'm Joe, I play guitar and do a little background vocals.
I'm Brendan, I play guitar and I do some of the singing as well.
I'm Anna, and I play bass.
And we are Fig. We're right down memory lane of the, you know, not hiding from Black Sabbath and like that kind of late 60s, early 70s heavier sound. And then, of course, some of the more contemporary stuff. We're big fans of Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats. And so we like a lot of the kind of the stuff that's in like the psych realm or kind of in the doom realm or, you know, just kind of like the, we like heavy things and pretty things.
Heavy with harmonies.
Heavy with harmonies.
Yeah. This kind of came out of an idea. I was in between bands and was talking to Brendan and kind of wanted to do like one concept album. Like I wanted to do like one thing telling a story, like a crappy B slasher film type thing. And we were like, yeah, let's focus on this idea. It sounds kind of fun. We'll do this like Cabin in the Woods thing. And then we added Charlie, then we added Anna, and then we had a band, and then we started playing out.
I'm sure we've all had other paths, but yeah, I think like for my own self, like grew up listening to like a lot of like the late 60s garage rock stuff. My dad listened to a lot of that and the early punk stuff. And then, you know, going in through like middle school and high school and starting to listen to like Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and all that. And then like actually also coming back to like some of the other punk stuff that I didn't know as well. I actually went to high school with Charlie, and yeah, he played in a punk band and I used to go see those guys play. And so there's a little bit of that overlap of kind of like that, maybe more like the 80s punk, 90s punk stuff, like Addicts and
yeah, like Ramones, yeah, Sex Pistols,
Misfits, and all like yeah, all that kind of stuff.
That's fun. I didn't know you were in a punk band in high school.
Yeah.
Cynical.
Nice.
Yes, that is what we were called. Yeah. Nice.
But anyway, yeah, I think like a lot of that stuff, and then so like yeah, musical tastes really range. But in the rock and roll zone, I think maybe like the through line being kind of like that, kind of like 60s garage, 60s kind of psychedelic era, going into the heavier stuff, and then like whatever, when you blend all that with like the later influences of punk or like darker things, then like, I don't know, kind of, for me, that's where I've run through. That was a ramble, but someone else say.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love like Zeppelin and stuff like that, but I was like, I can't play that kind of stuff. So I always gravitated towards like the Ty Segall kind of sound, like simple chords, heavy guitars, and that's kind of like the kind of music I thought I was always going to be like writing and into. But then when we started this project, I was like, oh, I better up my chops a little bit and like get some hot licks going, you know.
I've been writing, like, and then presenting to these guys whatever those ideas are, and then we had like the EP stuff for a little while, so that was kind of already baked in, and then all the songs that we've written after that has kind of been like, we'll jam it out or send like demos to everyone and people will come up with parts, and we kind of have been going from there on the everything post the first EP.
We're trying to record everything live and as a band, and that's like the hardest way to do it. That's like the most time intensive, because we want everyone to get like the take that they want, you know, and we're not trying to overdub like everybody's part, and so that's the way we're doing it, and that's why it's taking so long. But I think it results in the product that we're most like happy with and represents the band the best.
Yeah, and I mean, these guys can also talk to like, we just recorded what will be a new single and part of another song that will probably come out with it. And Charlie's been doing all of our recording stuff in the practice space, so he can speak to all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we self-record, self-produce, you know, kind of like Joe was saying, it definitely comes out better that way, like more to our own vision and stuff like that. So, yeah. The EP, you know, we recorded all together. No, it's all live together, yeah.
Except for the bass.
Except the bass.
So that was just before Anna joined the band. And so Brendan and I played bass on, like, the songs that we wrote. But we all played, the three of us, Brendan, Joe, and Charlie, played, like, our parts live together in the room. And we really liked the way that came out and wanted to stick with that theme as much as we can going forward. It's just that now the bass parts are way better.
Yeah, the one at a time thing always feels pretty unnatural, you know? I mean, there's plenty of great records, I'm sure, that have been done that way, but yeah, it's not the most natural way to do it, so.
Like broken chunks, kind of. I mean, like within like a time frame, like a season, I guess. But like, we didn't do it like, here's 4 days and like hammer it out all day.
We yeah, had, like recording sessions. Wise, yeah. You know, we probably did like what, two or three takes per song.
Yeah.
There's like five songs in there. So we did about two or three takes of each song all together, and then, you know, overdub stuff on top of that. But
No. Hold on. It was way worse than that. So first, Brendan and I tried to go and record this on our own. And so we went up to a cabin and we brought our amps and we like mic'd them and like turned them up as loud as they would go. And then we did it, just he and I, to a click track. And it was just like not quite what we wanted. And Brendan was like, my buddy Charlie can like probably help us with this and like mix it or something. And then so he sent the tracks that we had like worked on, sent them to Charlie, and Charlie listened to him and was like, why don't you guys just come over and we'll do it together. And so then we went to Charlie's.
Yeah,
and
so they scrapped the first thing.
So many hours, like, yeah. recording these things. And, like, we were still figuring out guitar solos and everything. And then we, you know, showed up to Charlie, and he knew how to play the songs, like, perfectly. And he had only heard them, like, a couple times. And we were like, okay, this is going to be way better.
It was good, too, because we got to also, like, take all the tries for our version. And then by the time we were playing there, it was like, okay, we've practiced this a lot now. And
yeah, we figured out the
figured out the little kinks and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to save you guys the embarrassment.
So. Yeah, and so, like, Charlie lays down the drums, we play our guitar parts live, and then he can mix it and master it. And so, like, the finished product's, like, way better than anything we could have done without Charlie.
Yeah.
And then the same can be said for Anna, like, she can play the bass way better than we can. And, like, the parts are so much more creative and thoughtful since she's joined the band. And so, like, the new songs are going to be, like, just way tighter and, like, I think more, like, I don't know, like, more in-depth or something. Like,
more better.
Yeah, just way more better.
Sirens, and I think the initial idea was someone meets a siren, meets someone who's kind of basically inviting him back to their place in the woods and kind of doses him up with some extracurriculars, and then they kind of take
proceeds to chop them
they take their soul, you know. So it's, you know, be careful about going down the wrong path, I think, is maybe if there's a lesson. I don't know if there's a lesson. There's some riffs for sure. Yeah.
And Brendan bought this field recorder, and we wanted to do all these, like, sound effects, like footsteps and, like, rain sounds and all this stuff and doors closing. And so we got all of those. That was great. But, like, on the recorder also, there were these, like, chorus practices.
Was,
like,
I bought it off eBay. It was used. And so there's, like, someone's previous stuff on there, and yeah, it was like a concert hall or like a middle school choir show, something like that.
Yeah,
and there's a couple songs on there that were like kind of like perfectly eerie and spooky and weird. So we snipped and chopped and grabbed a couple little samples and also tried to use it for its actual purpose too, and get some field recordings.
Yeah, a lot of that ear candy on the EP if you listen closely. So,
yeah. We like chopped up one of the songs and like added some effects to it, and it's just like 5 seconds, but it's perfect. You know, it's like creepy, and then just like adds to the vibe perfectly. And so,
yeah, the beginning of The Wolf.
Yeah,
the beginning of The Wolf. There's like a little snippet of some weird stuff.
Yeah. And then on the outro,
pay royalties to like some dude in Cambridge for their 12-year-olds.
And I think outro of Tomb, there might be
outro
something.
Of Tomb too.
Yeah,
yeah. Like very end has a little,
very very end. So
a little Easter egg.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, from the EP, The Rabbit, it's kind of the outlier. It's the fast one, and it's the shortest one. And playing it live is also really fun.
Yeah.
It has good energy.
It has great energy.
It's too short, in my opinion.
I like it that way.
The Rabbit is one, I'll just take this opportunity to tell the story of how I joined the band. Story goes, my best friend Kristen and Joe were on their second date, and Joe was like, oh, I play music with my friend Brennan, and we're always looking for a bass player. And Kristen was like, my friend Anna plays bass. And Joe was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then months later we met, and he sent me the song The Rabbit, and he was like, if this doesn't scare you away, then if you want to come play with us. You should. And I was like, this is awesome. And it, I hadn't really listened to that kind of music in years, since like high school, but I was like, this is super fun. I could totally get into this. And here I am.
Hooked her.
You're about to hear The Rabbit from our EP Sirens in its entirety. Find the music on Spotify, on Apple Music, we're on Instagram at Fig Band. I keep threatening to make a band camp. That'll happen. And what else? Come check out some shows. We got some shows coming up. We've got the DLC with Modern Speed and Dolly on January 23rd. I believe that's a Friday. And then on the 31st?
Yep, playing at the Funkin' Dive in Ogden.
With Electricide and Big Sis. And then on February 13th, Friday the 13th, we're playing at Aces High with Glory Trip and Bone Throwers. What was the question?
And if you're listening to this in 2040, you missed the shows.
you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy any place cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.